D-H-Z, go! I used to say I'm the boss. They've hit at the most. They're doing real good, yeah. I would say they're the boss. They bring real information. If you don't know, I'm Set Nation. Dropping knowledge on the daily. Really?
Really?
These boys bring it on real. D-H-Z, know what popping in the field.
Recording live from the SEC Sports Pub, here's Heath Elsenson, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
Heath Elsenson, the one with the red face right now. You just have to get him started again. I know, we got to pull that little cord and get him going. That's it. Hold it, wait for it.
B's and B-boys. I love this
book. Yes, I need to hear that. That keeps me going every week. So here we go. Another epic meltdown by Heath.
And you mistape it.
Yeah, no, I'm like, gosh, should I just start recording it? And he don't even know I'm recording
it. And then you can edit and put it in there.
Yeah, just put it in there. Like,
so what do you really think about McDonald's?
Yeah. Tell us about McDonald's.
Oh, no. I know. That's what set me off.
So this guy goes into McDonald's.
How can it take 15 minutes to order when you're the only person in the car? He wasn't driving a school bus. It wasn't a Greyhound. He wasn't ordering for a whole team. One guy in a car that takes 15 minutes to order.
What kind of salt do you use? Is there any MSG in the
and
salt?
And so when he went to the window, how many bags did they pass out to him?
A cup. I wasn't kidding about the shake thing. That's what it was all about, was about the shake.
Is there gluten in that shake? I'd like,
because that's what I was thinking. By the time we finally got to the window, I'm like, I got another 15-minute wait for him to get all this stuff together. And they handed him a cup. And he drove off. That was like 10 seconds. I was like, what?
You know. High fructose tick there.
Oh, my God. I mean, people, listen, they don't understand. They don't understand how people can be. They go to restaurants, and that's what they do to servers, you know. It's like they expect the servers to, you know, at like a sports bar. Well, and that sauce on those wings, there's an MSG.
Yeah,
what kind of
right.
salt do you use? Is that the low calcium salt that they? And the server's like, oh my God, bro, it's a freaking wing. You know what I'm saying? You know, like, and you know they doing it. I just want you to know that's what they doing. Yeah. Nobody knows management on that, but there's that hallway between the kitchen and the floor.
Yeah.
And when you over there busting the chops at that server, they're over there like,
Excuse me. This sauce seems awfully thick.
I don't want to know what was in that vanilla shake this guy ordered tonight.
Is that a salsa verde on there?
I mean, they get it way down deep there, and like that one there, Tomas. Like that one.
That one right there.
That was the real one too, man. So anyway, did y'all see the playoffs?
No.
I know you did because you were sitting next to me. So, I mean, dude, what an exciting, at least Sunday, what an exciting group of games.
Yep.
One of the things that we're going to have to talk about, we got to hit these picks. Because you know what? We kind of neglected the whole picks thing. Well, last week.
Because I think there was a championship game in college sports. I believe that's what it was. And somebody made fun of me because I picked Clemson.
Congratulations. High five. High five. There you go. That was another great game.
Yeah, that was an awesome game.
And you know what's
awesome
funny?
Finish.
I was sitting there the whole game, and like, and please don't misinterpret this. I am not an Alabama homer, but, you know, I respect what they're doing. I mean, look, you know, and so the whole game, I'm just like, everything they did, I'm like, see, look how they tackle that guy. They just tackle him harder than any other team. Oh, you said, look, they're wearing him down now. You know, and everything I was doing, I was like, just pointing out that, oh, look, that's another example of how Alabama is. Just look at those guys in the big, thick ankles just pounding everything. And the next thing you know, when I thought that Alabama would just, after pounding them for a half, would start rolling.
Nope.
Clemson, man, they showed
made
some
the adjustments.
They made adjustments. Yep. They showed some serious toughness because, despite Alabama not doing what I'm saying, those guys are. I mean, you just watch them line up. Here comes like every other offensive line in college football. The guy comes, got the big old belly, and the little skinny thighs. You know what I'm saying? He's lined up at left tackle. You know, and he's going up against a guy who's like, I mean, tree trunks. Everything. His ankles are just like, and you know these guys. The quarterback. What's the kid's name?
Watson.
Oh, yeah, he. Man, he took some hits.
Yeah.
And I was just like, man, he's not going to want any more of this. And he just kept doing it. So
they made the right adjustments, and they were able to come back in the second half. You know,
just great game.
But I think more than anything, just going back to that game, is what I said originally. the change of offensive coordinator is really what did Alabama in, I think. You even think? Though they scored points, it just wasn't the same kind of Alabama team offensively with Sarkisian as opposed to.
Sure. And if you think about it, I mean, I can't remember all the scores, but they had one that was just a long pass, I think, the beginning of the second half. You know, like. You can't really consider that good offense. It's one big play. Good offense is when you get the ball and you move down the field methodically, right. Well, picking up first downs. That's a sign of a good
and
offense.
And another problem that they had was once they lost the running back.
I think the first two scores they had, one of them was definitely a long run by him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. In the game. That's true. Yeah. They had two long runs.
And once they lost him, like I said, because Sarkisian wasn't used to making adjustments like that. Kiffin would have made the adjustment, in my opinion. And then they had the young kid from Kentucky playing. That was the running back that was in the game for
Alabama. Remember,
that was a kid that UK was really thought they had a chance at getting.
They never had a shot at him. It's like you'd listen to some of the UK fans, and I love you guys if you're listening, but they're like, oh, yeah, you know, this guy, this kid
Danville Book. Someplace.
Yeah, and I mean, guy was just tearing everything up, and he's like, oh, you know, I'm like, oh, do you think they have a chance? Because I don't follow, you know, Kentucky recruiting. Yeah. Like, yeah, you know, it's between us and Alabama. I'm like,
Yeah,
this kid's looking at his career. Like, yeah, I'd probably like to stay here, a little hometown pride. Mm-hmm. But I have a career to think about and championships that I'd like to be part of.
I think I'll be at Alabama.
Yeah, I think I'm going to Alabama, and that's what happened.
Well, anyway, all right. But let's get back to the pros.
Okay, so pick'ems. Yeah. Let's take a look at that, shall we?
Okay.
Yeah, it sounds like a good idea. You know what? I like how you guys are so supportive. All right. So this week, you know, there's only a maximum of 4 points. So Brooks is the only person got all four right.
Man.
Then you got Cook's Arrows, a bunch of people with three. So you got Javelin. What is that? Picker is Rod. DTC All-Stars. Sacked for Loss. And Cook's Arrow. Who's that guy? That's number 7.
Who is that?
I think the first guy with two right.
Because I didn't do that good.
You want me to pat you on the back? You got two right.
I know. That's why I'm asking, how is this ordered?
Well, okay, it's ordered for this week. It's ordered by.
Two right, too. So how is that going?
For the playoffs this week, maximum is 4 points you can score. So then you had one person with four. Look, I don't know if you guys don't know this out there, but everybody's all intently looking at the screen, trying to figure this all out like it matters for Heath and Tomas. But anyway, so, and then you had these people with three, and then the next person with two was Heath.
Okay, I'll see.
Heath. Yeah. And then there's everybody with two. And look, there you go, Prof. TM right there with two. And then, you know, a couple of people at one. I didn't even make the picks. I told you.
You sure you didn't make those picks? I think you picked all the losers.
No. Now, listen. Now, we're going to talk about my real league where I can win valuable
prizes.
I went 4-0. 4-0, baby. Yeah.
And look, to everybody out there playing with us, when the owner cares this much about the league, I mean, how can you not be invested in it?
Oh, no, you got to take it serious.
Exactly.
Believe me, if I was up there at the top, I'd be having a lot more fun with this. So. Yeah. All right, so now let's get to the overall. We got Red Jim. Looks like she secured the lead at 134. 1 point lead over DTC All-Stars. Then Lil Dice is also tied at 133 for second place, 1 point out. Orion, 132. Sack for Loss at 130. Tied with Cook's Arrow at 130. Seventh place, tied, two people tied. The Year of the Lion, that's our buddy
Gary.
Gary. Took me a second there. And what is that? Aries, 39 with 128. Ninth place, Picker's Rod, 127. You think I would have heard that name. And then Javelin at 125 in 10th place. So all, I don't know, 125, I think we have a hard time catching up.
Heath, you beat me because you got less losses than I do.
Oh, yeah?
You're 21 and I'm 22.
I didn't think about it.
I have less losses. What does that mean?
You didn't play as many games.
This is from not picking.
From not picking.
Oh, you don't just get a loss for not picking?
No.
I thought he gave you a loss for.
Well, we have the same number of wins. You and I both have 117, but you have 122 loss. I have 125.
Oh, he's talking about just losses. So, okay. That don't make sense.
Well, right.
So something happened that you didn't. Oh, you know, doesn't it when you have a push, it doesn't go against you one way or the other?
Well, maybe.
Oh, maybe so.
Maybe. Because, yeah, one of the things about this league,
because there's a funny thing about
they didn't, have half points.
Yeah, right.
You know, so
right.
It's like, oh, 4-point favorite. All right, that, you know, that yeah, that could be it. Well, anyway.
And so, where are you?
Me, I told
you. Oh, yeah,
you.
29. Way back then.
I told you. I told you. You know what? I didn't think about this part of it. Next season.
That's only because he quit, you know.
I didn't quit. I want to give other people an opportunity.
Oh,
but next
okay.
season, yeah. What we'll do is have a wager amongst ourselves. So if we flop like we did this year, at least we can compete
okay,
against
that's,
ourselves.
That's good. I like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. I mean,
that.
You know, it's hard to sit there and and compete.
Are we going to pick against the spread next year? Or are we going to go?
You know what? Maybe
what
we'll do is see what other people want to do. We've had so many people participate. Maybe we'll get their input. And if they want to pick
yeah,
against
the
spread,
they need to call us on the hotline and give
us
there
you go.
Thought.
You got to right. give us.
And what's that hotline
call.
Again?
That hotline number. Let's see. 504-383.
I'm interested in the last two numbers. Go ahead.
33.
Yeah. What's the last two?
6 and a 9.
There you go. Okay.
6 and a 9.
There you go.
Well, he just won't say 69.
We keep it PG here. We keep it PG here. So okay. So look. I don't think looking at this, let's see, next week, 2 points available in the Super Bowl, 3 points. So that means that looks like it would be basically Orion and above, Orion, Little Dice, DTC
top
All-Stars,
four,
and Red Gym are the only people that are really in the
yeah,
race.
That's
so,
the top four.
I don't know. What are we going to do? We have to make them call in before we send them. They have to call in to the hotline.
And they have to get the passwords.
Passwords. So we're going to somehow or another make y'all call in with to the hotline. Because
yeah.
Lil Dice, we got a call from him this week. But, you know, last week he didn't call, and I was worried about him. I thought maybe he got injured or something, you know.
Yeah,
you know, maybe he was in a hospital, got arrested for something. You know, we were scouring all the police departments, all of the hospitals, just the
Boudreaux Parish.
The Boudreaux Parish Sheriff's Department. Huh? And I asked them, I said, you got a Lil Dice locked up in there? And they were like, nope, don't know a Lil Dice. So it's, you know.
You were asking if he got
They didn't tase him, huh?
Oh, yeah. got a little brother up in there.
We know the commercial.
All right, come on.
All right.
So we have our picks then.
We have our picks then. I'll tell you what.
We only have two games to pick.
I think that's a lot of enough tomfoolery and shenanigans.
Very well.
So let's get to the show, and the first thing we're going to talk about is the Atlanta playoff game. I think some
Who
interesting
are you
things.
Picks? We're not making the
picks. Oh, we pick? I'm not worried about picking. You want to pick? What you
want
to pick for?
I want to pick.
For what?
You're going to finish it out?
All right.
Yeah, you got to go all the
okay,
way
now
through,
now all
brother.
Of a sudden we worried about the – all right, who's playing?
So here's our pick segment. I decided to start with the two greatest picks in Saints history.
Brett Favre goes back to pass. He pumps. Now he fires over the middle. Intercepted. I can't believe what I'm seeing right now. It was intercepted by Tracy Porter. Near side to the 40. And John Sullivan runs him down at the 47-yard line.
You got the Green Bay.
At Atlanta.
The spread right now is 4. Green Bay gets 4.
Okay.
And then you have Pittsburgh at New England. Yeah. And Pittsburgh's getting 5.5.
-5.5. Okay. And then, all right. Well, okay, who wants to go first?
I'll go first. You know, this last weekend, they had 2 away teams won and 2 home teams won.
Okay. Yep.
Okay. So this week, I'm going to say that I believe that neither home team is going to win.
Neither home team is
going to
win. Do you believe that, or is that what you want to happen?
No, that's
what he wants
I believe.
To happen.
I believe
he wants
that,
it so much he now believes it.
Yeah, right.
I believe that Pittsburgh and Green Bay are both on this roll. New England is a very good team, no doubt, ifs, ands, or buts about it. Well coached. You know, all the people fit their programs, so forth and so on. But I just have this feeling that Pittsburgh, being on the roll that they're on right now, I just believe that they can do it in New England. Of all the teams that's in this playoff in the American League, I just think that Pittsburgh has a shot. So I'm going to take Pittsburgh and the 5.5 points in that game.
Okay.
In the other game, I have even more confidence in Green Bay.
Huh.
Because if you watch what they did against Dallas yesterday,
yeah,
Aaron Rodgers – if we didn't have Drew Brees, that'd be the man I'd want.
Really?
You know?
Yeah.
If I'm building a team from scratch.
It's hard to argue that. I'm not a big fan of him his personality.
No, but if you look at him as a professional.
No, as a football player, what do you call it? You call it arm envy?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
He can flick that ball with accuracy.
Yeah.
And they have a wide receiver running back who seems to be working out just fine.
Isn't that cool as hell?
Yeah.
Number 88 off the left tackle.
And there's some talk that Jordy might be back for this next game.
Yeah. Jordy.
Jordy Nelson.
Wrap the tape real tight.
Yeah, maybe so.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Get some Vicodin in you.
Yeah.
All in all, I don't have to take a bath with lava soap afterwards because I'm pulling for Green Bay.
Yeah.
I had to bring you a bar of lava soap.
I know. I picked Atlanta in my pick'em league this week, and I felt dirty. You did, too.
No, I did not.
Oh, you didn't. Okay. I should know better.
I picked Seattle.
But I had to because money is on the line. Yeah. And so, and I felt dirty. I felt like I was doing something wrong.
Don't you think so, Heath?
Yeah.
Honor was on the line.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, since I have very little of that dignity or pride.
Yeah. All right, so they're my two picks, Pittsburgh and Green Bay. I'll take the points in both.
All right. Heath.
All right. I'm going to take Green Bay.
There you go.
Okay.
Good choice.
And the 4 points at Atlanta.
All right. So just curious.
Now, I have no qualms about telling you that's basically strictly based on the fact that that's what I want to happen.
Yes.
Okay. I have no idea whether they can actually win or not. No, I actually think Green Bay could.
Yeah. Oh, I think
I think they're certainly capable. If I was really worried about this pick, if I was up at the top with Lil Dice and Red Gem and all them, I may be making a different pick. But I'm going to take Green Bay in that game. And the other game, however, I think that's where it runs out. I think I got to take New England at home.
Okay. So what I was going to ask you. I was going to ask you is, but you already answered the question. Do you think that do you want Green Bay to win? Do you think they're going to cover the 4? Or do you think they're going to win straight up?
Well, I want Green Bay to win. I think they could cover the 4. But I actually think they can win the game.
Okay.
Straight out.
Here's the thing is that I truly wonder, and we were just talking about it, the Saints weren't the strongest team this year, and they beat Seattle at home. And, I mean, I'm not saying it was an easy game, but I don't think it was like it wasn't some kind of miracle that we pulled off. We handled them pretty well. Is Atlanta as good, especially Seattle didn't have their all-world safety? Which, you know, and then they lost their backup cornerback. I can't remember his name. So, you know, they were pretty depleted. Ironically, during the game, they kept talking, oh, Seattle, it's just hard to match up when you're so depleted. I'm like, oh, cry me a river.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Like, cry me a river.
Right. That is,
yeah, right. That's right. Our big, you know, so how are we going to match up? And the game could be completely different if you have some quality cornerbacks.
Right.
When you don't and you're pulling guys out of the stands to play corner for you, then that's what you get. But anyway. I'm going to go with Green Bay. I wish they had Jordy, but here's my thing is even if he is available to play, he's probably not going to be, you know, 100%.
Yeah, probably more of a decoy than anything else.
But, and that may be a, like, okay, from years past, Atlanta kind of falls apart and, you know, and like, are they really as good as what, so I think Green Bay is hot, man. Green Bay is hot.
They are.
And Dallas is a good team.
Yeah.
So to do what they did in that game, showed that they played a very good team on the road.
Yeah.
And I think that Dallas, generally speaking, is a better team than Atlanta. And I'm going to give Atlanta, just like I did Carolina last year, I'm going to give Atlanta their props. I think they're a good team. But I think Dallas is a better team. For Green Bay to go and beat Dallas, then I think they have a good shot at beating Atlanta at home, especially just the way that that Green Bay's quarterback's playing. You know, Aaron Rodgers is on fire.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to pick Pittsburgh. New England, I mean, they just weren't very impressive. Maybe I have to give Houston's defense some credit. But if it wasn't for Osweiler throwing the ball to New England
all day.
No, New
England certainly was not impressive at all.
So,
boy, it's just hard to pick against them in an AFC championship game at home.
I agree with you.
If there's a team you could count on, it would be Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, there's no doubt about it.
And I know I'm stepping out, but that's kind of like I feel like whenever you just say, oh, this team should win, that team should win. I'm actually stepping out on both games because, obviously, I'm picking the underdogs in both games.
Just like me.
I think Pittsburgh will win straight up. I think Green Bay could cover, maybe not win the game. But I think – I don't think New England is good as everybody's making them out to be. They play in a weak division. They haven't been great. They're a little banged up. And they, you know, beating Houston,
you know. Anyway, so I'm going to go with Green Bay and Pittsburgh.
Tonight on BS and Beer Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, it's the Action Suspense Airline Highway at 9:30, followed by this year's award-winning suspense thriller, Camp Beast. Next, it's hilarious family fun suitable for all ages with Drew, Sean, and Mickey. Then, it's Sex in the Cell Block, the hot new show that's too racy for daytime. That's Sex in the Cell Block at 11 tonight. Then, it's Saints Talk with Dave, Tomas, Heath, and the BS and Beer podcast crew. Every night, here on the BS and B Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, a limited liability corporation.
You're listening to the BS and Beer podcast.
All right, so here, listen. One of the things, and this is the first kind of subject that I'm gonna present to you guys, is watching the playoffs as it relates to the Atlanta Falcons and how are we gonna beat them? We cannot get to the playoffs. I guess we could get a wild card. This is like that math thing you were just talking about. Can you do it if yeah. Well, I guess you can anyway. Yeah. So, but you can still get the playoffs with wild card. But obviously, you want to win your division. If we're going to win the division, looking at what I saw yesterday, I think we need to beat Atlanta. If we're going to beat Atlanta, you have to build your team to beat Atlanta. And this goes back to the debate that we had, mostly Tomas, and it's hard to disagree with him. He thinks it's linebacker. But, boy, after watching, it's hard not to go with Heath's idea of drafting four cornerbacks and have them all cover Julio Jones and then hope the other receivers drop the ball.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a pretty good strategy. You know, so now the question remains, has your opinion changed after watching? Because it kind of – it has – I have. I look at it and say, man, you better be able to – they are explosive right now. I mean, they have two explosive running backs.
Yeah, and, you know, and that's the thing about Atlanta is really their success throughout the season – was in large part due to the two running backs that, you know, you look at them and you think pass. Oh, yeah, Julio Jones and Matt Ryan played great. He almost got 5,000 yards. And that's true. But they, man, they both running backs, they were both over 1,000 yards, weren't they? And, and you know, and that played a bigger role in what they were able to do this year than I think most people think of when you look at them.
Yeah,
you know?
Plus, the system that they have, they use the two running backs like we used to use Pierre Thomas, that little swing pass to the outside, screen passing. So not only did they have running yards, they also had passing yards coming out of the backfield. You know, so it hasn't changed my opinion. If you want me to answer it,
Sure.
It has not changed my opinion. Because I still think that we have – if you look back when Bro was not injured and we played last year against Atlanta, Julio Jones didn't do anything. You know? So to me, I still think – linebacker, because if you look, everybody talks about Brady, you know, in the New England game, and the teams he's had the most problems with are the ones that bring the outside pressure. So to me, you have a linebacker first, defensive end second. I don't change anything. I still go with those same two picks, because if you force the quarterback off the dime and he's got nothing to dump down into because you got good linebackers, good luck trying to get it to Julio Jones. By that time, you're on your behind.
You know what my observation is?
Yeah, what?
I just realized I know you have multiple degrees.
Yeah.
And you've been a professor, and you're a very intelligent guy.
Yeah.
And then I'm listening to Heath talk, and I kind of feel like, okay, me and Heath, we average regular guys. But then he uses words like certainly and in large part and made me realize that makes you sound smart. And I realize I'm the least well-spoken person on the podcast. So I'm going to have to fix something. I'm Bobby
Hebert.
Notice
he just said it makes me sound smart. He didn't say it made me smart. It just
I don't
makes
know if
you're
smart or not, but I'm just like, you're like, well, in large part, it certainly, I'm like, well, look, geez, man, that guy looks like.
I got an app here which,
with a thesaurus on it.
Yeah. I sit over here before my segment, and then I take my words, and then I.
And then I'm over here. You sounded smart. Tomas is smart, and then I'm over here doing, I'm that one guy. What's his name again? So I got to pick up my game around here. But, well, no, okay, so. I just feel like watching the game, those guys are explosive. And at the end of the day, and I don't know how deep we can go into this, but the Saints are going to have to match up with them defensively. And I guess you could say that about any team, but I think we match up against Tampa Bay. I don't think Tampa Bay is anybody that we have to fear them.
with Carolina, I don't think there's a lot that we would need to do to match up with them, at least as their roster stands.
See, I think we match up worse with Carolina than we do with Atlanta.
We played them better.
Just because they have an ignorant quarterback, but
but that's part of their team.
Hey, you
got to
call it
change.
The way that it
hey,
is.
You know, and if you look at what our real weakness was this year and you look at Tampa Bay, you would think we wouldn't actually match up that well with Tampa Bay with Mike Evans and right. that group running around.
I certainly agree with you, bro.
Yeah.
So
you
anyway,
certainly do. Yeah.
I certainly agree with you. Anyway, but in large part, I think that we have to make sure.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring a pad of paper next time. And every time you start fumbling around, I'll write a good word down for you.
Yeah, big word of the day. Yeah. So, I mean, actually, I know a lot of words. I just don't know how to work them into my conversation. I got to work on how my delivery. Yeah. So, but I think, you know, I guess that's we just disagree.
Yes.
Because
yes.
Cam Newton, I mean, he's not changing. So, having an ignorant quarterback, I'm like, hey, we match up against ignorant quarterbacks pretty well. But Atlanta, and we talked about this a little bit ago, they smoked us twice this year, and the last game of the season, the score was not indicative of how well
go.
They
there
actually
go.
Played.
There's
I'm like,
hey,
I got it.
Yeah,
I'm going to work
right.
that in there.
Okay,
so,
there
you know, so, but, but I think that.
And just imagine if we were drinking how much
no,
we
it's, yeah. It only gets better. It gets better. But, okay, so. I just think that watching Atlanta, man, they're explosive. We're going to have to figure out a way to match up with them. And I had actually someone disagree with me. Leo disagreed with me yesterday. We were having this conversation. He doesn't agree with the whole thing. You have to build your team to win the division. He's like, yeah, but you play all these other teams. At the end of the day, you do have to win those games, but you have to win your division. You have to beat the teams in your division to win the division. I mean, I get it. There's only six games against – and you have – 10 games against the other teams. You could, in theory, win all of those games and still make the playoffs, but chances are you're not going to win all those games.
You know, I think maybe that's somewhat out the window compared to, you know, it seemed like once upon a time divisions took on identities.
Right.
You know, used to call the
black and blue division.
The black and blue
yeah.
division up there right. with Chicago and Minnesota, and they all played a similar style of football and whatnot, and you see that college conferences and whatnot. But nowadays, I mean, look at the Saints division alone and look at the differences between Tampa, Carolina, Atlanta, and the Saints as far as what they do.
Well, when the Saints were the best team in a division, everyone, you're looking up and you say, man, how do I get better to beat that team? And then these teams had to match up against the Saints. So the Saints and whoever's leading the pack, then they start saying, well, how do I improve my team? Not how do I beat those guys because we're already good enough to beat those guys. Now you're just looking at how can we get past the championship game
right.
and beat whoever it is that's your nemesis
right.
to get like back in the
I
day
mean,
when the 49ers and Dallas played.
Right.
It was like
obviously if you want to win your division, then you have to be able to match up against whoever the other team
that's
is.
True.
Problem
that's
is
true.
From year to year, that could be a different team. And in the NFC South, it has been a different team every other year. Now, if you look at somebody like New England, the people in New England's conference have a pretty clear goal of – or, you know, division, I should say. You know
– beat New England.
Yeah, they're on top. They've the six consecutive national – six consecutive AFC championship game in a row. And they haven't even been at their best over the last few years, you know, but they dominate their division.
Yes.
And so
you get a high seed, and then it helps them in the playoffs.
Right. But like you said, there's wild card, and you know, hell, in the Saints division, you're not dealing with the same team every year. So right about the time we'd geared up to take on Carolina, now you got Atlanta, and maybe that's why. Maybe we were spending a lot of time thinking about what we're going to do against Carolina.
No, I don't think.
And
so.
Now that Atlanta's got it together, you know. But so anyway,
And I would tell you that I think there are a couple of different ways to look at it. When you go into the offseason, you can look at and say, okay, we need to match up with the best team in our division. That's true. And you would draft that way, thinking, you know, do your draft picks and your free agent signings that way. Or you could just turn around and say, I don't care about that. I'm going to draft the best player available, and then on the free agent market, I'm going to pick one or two free agents that fill a need that we have. You could look at it that way. You know, or there's a third way that I'm going to throw out at you. Who cares about Atlanta? Because Kyle Shanahan's going to sign on to be the head coach at San Francisco 49ers, and then suddenly you don't have the same offensive coordinator at Atlanta, and they fall completely apart.
Sure.
So you because there's certain things that you can't, you know, right now, even though three people have already turned down the San Francisco gig,
you know, it's a possibility that Kyle Shanahan, you know, I think last year was a learning process between Kyle Shanahan and Matt Ryan. Okay, now they're on the same page. Everything's working. It's just like Sean and Drew. Okay, great. Now he walks out the door. The next guy coming in, going to have a different system, going to have a different idea. So the players might all still be the same. And so you, all of a sudden you're going to say, well, am I really picking against players or am I picking now to draft against the system? You know, because you brought up the thing about the Saints. Everybody's looking at the Saints. Well, we take them to the deep end of the pool and drown them. Well, man, we got to score 40 points every game like the Saints if we have a chance to win. So were they then trying to compete against the system that we had? Or were they competing against Drew? You know, who? Because we didn't have those kind of receivers that stand out like, you know, Julio in Atlanta. Yeah. I mean, we had, who do we have? You know, Colston, Meacham. Devery Henderson, Lance Moore.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they're all solid players, but they're players that worked in the system.
Sure.
You know, so to me, there are a couple of ways you could look at it, but I wouldn't put so much weight in saying, me personally, I wouldn't put so much weight into saying we have to draft now and bring faith to beat Atlanta. I wouldn't worry about it because, like Heath said, for all I know, next year Tampa Bay is going to win the division.
Yeah. Well, you know, and one of the things, speaking of that, is it's just ironic. Like, I'm just kind of looking at things, and I realized, okay, look at where Carolina. Last year, Carolina was in a Super Bowl.
Yes.
Yeah.
And now they're drafting ahead of us.
Yeah.
Last year, now Atlanta's in the conference championship game, and last year, correct me if I'm wrong, they drafted before us.
Yeah.
So here the Saints, nice, solid, steady, consistent in the pick'em league. You know, I'm right there, ready to make my move at 7-9.
Yeah.
And but yet, okay, so every other year a different team in our division goes into the draft. Whether you're successful or not, they have the opportunity to pick up a difference maker. And Atlanta has. I did not realize that Beasley led the league in sacks with 15 and a half sacks.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they were just really talking about that a lot, and I'm like, oh, I knew he came into his own this year. And there was one game, I can't remember, but I kept looking up, and it's like, oh, Beasley just sacked.
Boy, and what a reversal from last year, huh?
When he was
with Saints fans comparing Stephon Anthony to Beasley.
And thinking
and it was
that we
all
came up,
laughing, yucking it up last
like,
year.
Look at us.
Oh, look at this Beasley. This guy can't play it. You know, and look at Anthony, and he did it. Boy, how times have changed.
Yeah, role reversal. But so the thing about it is talking, and every year over the last 3 years, we have this argument, debate, whether we should, you know, whether they should tank or not. I don't think that's the question. The question more is, would we be better off if they didn't win all these useless games at the end of the season? And the answer is yes. Then, you know, hey, listen, maybe this year we'd be going into it looking at, like, we now have an upper echelon pass rusher or a dominant cornerback or something like that, that solid's locked down. We don't have to worry about it. But every year, we always picking right there in the middle, you know, 12, 13, 14.
Well, this is why you have to have the ability to scout and choose wisely. The Saints, by picking up Ireland 2 years ago and then dumping the entire scouting staff, you know, year after that, I think that was a wise move because at the end of the day, to me, it's not, you know, people can disagree. I don't think it's a Sean Payton issue, even though everybody thinks, you know, coach. To me, it's a Mickey Loomis issue. Because look at the draft choices that we've taken, how many we have left on the team.
Right.
Before the last 2 years, the previous three, who do we have left? You know, Mark Ingram. I mean, you look at it, I mean, think of all the draft choices that have come and gone.
Right.
You know, so that's bad choosing. Now you look at Atlanta. Yeah, they picked up Beasley. They went out in the free agent market, picked up the center. I can't remember his name now.
Oh, yeah, the guy from the Browns.
Cleveland. Yeah,
Cleveland. He's really good.
Boy, you know, I was watching these playoff games and looking at all of the contributors on these teams that I heard this weekend where this guy came from Cleveland. And they picked up that guy from Cleveland.
Yeah. Yep.
And here you got Cleveland, hurt. You know, yeah, it's like, what the hell is going on in Cleveland? I mean.
Yeah, they can't put, I mean, the guy is obviously a good player, but somehow another, you know, whether it's bad coaching, bad organization.
Well, it's bad organization.
They move on to
remember,
the next
Cleveland season. Remember, Cleveland hired a coach. He lasted 1 year, and they fired him.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name off the top of my head now.
Yeah.
But and I said I wanted to write this down and remember too, because I mean it was several.
Yeah, yeah.
That had contributed on.
And
hell, our own team, we got Snead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, now Snead didn't get that much better from the time he left Cleveland to the time he got. They had to miscalculate or, you know, miss a. Let me pull out my thesaurus.
Yeah. So I think that's interesting. And going into this offseason, it just showed like the distance right now. It's kind of scary watching Atlanta out there and thinking of the distance where we are right now to where we need to be. To be able to compete with those guys.
See, I disagree.
Maybe it's not that far.
I don't think it's that far.
No.
But it goes back to how we assess the team. So after the season is over, when we start working towards, you know, our draft and all that, when we start evaluating our positions and so forth, we're going to differ on this because I know you have no confidence whatsoever in defensive backs that we have, whereas I do.
Sure.
And that makes a big difference as to how you're going to draft and how you see
what
where the team is.
Absolutely.
You know, and I just don't think that we're that far away from Atlanta. I really don't. Okay. Because, again, if you were to say, you know, if we're a skiff, if we would have beat Oakland, if we would have beat the Giants. I mean, you start counting the games that we just lost by 1 point, 3 points. There were three games. These are the special teams. If we would have had Day from the first day instead of McMahon. All right, if we had three games, now we're 10 wins, not seven.
Sure. It's hard to argue that we did
and maybe one of the Atlanta games we split instead of losing both.
Sure.
So now we're 11.
And again, it's a bunch of ifs. But having said that, when you look at the injuries, you and how close the games were, we weren't that far from being. We could have been a 10-win. I don't know how to say it right because I don't like to just assume. Well, we should have won that. We should have won that one. There are a lot of games that go down to.
Lost,
There are a lot of games that go down to the end. But the Saints were very competitive, and I've said this earlier in the season. You got to give San Diego as that should have been a loss, but you also have like three games. You say, hey man, I wholeheartedly believe we got screwed out of the Oakland game. And I don't know how you would say the Denver game wasn't, you know, that was a freak play that you just, happen.
Yeah.
So then it happens to you. Say
the Giants, same thing.
The Giants one tip ball away with Crowley. If he just, he was in position. Yeah, he's looking at the ball. How it got.
Actually, that should have never happened because it shouldn't have had the bogus call on, who was that, Robertson that was
Robertson.
Covered?
No, that was Oakland.
No, in the Giants
game. Right. I am thinking of the Oakland game.
Yeah, now the Oakland game.
In the Giants game, I was talking about the blocked field goal.
Oh, that's right.
That's right. What I was talking
about. So maybe I don't give them enough credit because even with all the deficiencies, even if they don't win 10 games to make the playoffs, I mean, it's easy to see that they could have won 9 games, you know, and reasonable to say that they should have.
And that's why I say I don't think we're that far off. You know, it's just a question of, hey, it's football.
You know, I'm trying to think back. Unfortunately, the second Atlanta game, we talked about, I didn't see most of that game.
No Vaccaro.
And I'm trying to remember back to the first one, but, you know, our strength this year on the offensive side of the ball, we didn't bring. Like in the first game against Atlanta at home in our own place, our offense deserted us. We know we had problems on defense and, you know, especially
If memory serves me correctly, weren't we scared to death after the first four preseason games that we had no offensive line and Drew was going to get killed?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden we had an offensive line until we played Atlanta. We played Atlanta, we had no offensive line.
Right.
So, you know, to me, I think the Atlanta games, both games, their defense was able to.
Yeah, and that might be a more interesting analysis in talking about Atlanta is what they did on the defensive side of the ball, even more so than what they did on offense, especially considering Quinn was the defensive guy in Seattle, wasn't he? Right?
That's his forte,
is on the other side of the ball.
All right, we're going to hit a break, and then we'll come back. We're going to talk about all the news about the Saints' defensive hires.
Okay.
Do you wake up sleepy? Do you lack confidence and self-esteem? Do you often see the world as it is and not how you wish it would be? Well, now there's CamaFed, a new all-natural male enhancement product. Why spend time, effort, and hundreds of dollars on products that just don't work? Now, instead of being better at something, all you have to do is take CamaFed, and you'll just believe you are.
Who are you to say that your way is right?
Now you no longer have to worry about being a better athlete. You just believe you are.
And I leave everything else out on the field.
You'll become the team leader you always wanted to be. Not because you work harder or sacrifice more, just because you believe you are. Ask your doctor if all new Camafed is right for you. Side effects may include, but not limited to, delusion, choking, inability to fall on balls late in the fourth quarter, an overinflated idea of your own self-worth, loss of respect from your teammates and fans. Because when that big moment in life occurs and you fail miserably, you can still believe you're successful with Camafed.
BS and Beer Podcast, the worldwide leaders in absolutely nothing.
All right, so let's talk about a little Saints news from the coaching hirings on the defensive side of the ball.
All right, give us a lowdown.
All right, yeah. That's all there is to it. Saints got nothing for the coaches on the defensive side of the ball. Yeah. It's like an awkward silence. I haven't heard anything.
I mean, obviously they got their eyes on guys that whose seasons have still been going here. You know, so we just had four more in this.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You never know.
We might actually start hearing some things now.
And let's also keep in mind, I know it's all this excitement stuff. We're talking about position coaches.
Right.
If it was a defensive coordinator, you could say, man, oh, when the season's over, because I agree with that, so I don't sound like I'm picking on you. But it's like, it's you know, we wait until the season's over so that we can see if they want their linebacker coach to become our linebacker
coach.
Well,
and that's the thing. That is the flip side of it, is who's going to want to leave a team that's still playing
right
now, which means they're a better team than we are,
right,
and leave that position and come
for a lateral move.
For a lateral move.
Right, right.
And we don't exactly have promotions to give out
here. They see something in the team that they're in and believe that this is their only chance at a run, and they look at the Saints and think, we got Drew Brees, hey. They may have more chance of a run, so it's a possibility.
I mean, it's a little stretch, though. I mean,
well,
you know.
I'm just saying.
You never know.
Because, like, let's
say
Kansas City,
for instance. You never know when it's a personality conflict.
Or Houston. Those would be two teams that, I don't know, Kansas City is pretty consistent, and they're good. But they're just, I look at them like, I knew they weren't going anywhere. Like, you know, if they would have gone somewhere, I would have been surprised. They're a good regular season team because they play tough defense. They take care of the ball. And it reminds me of the old Saints teams from the late 80s, early 90s, that they were very good on defense. But once they got against other really good teams, then they just weren't explosive, and they didn't score enough points to win the ball.
Kansas City has really good linebackers.
I see where you're going with that. Speaking of.
But they also have Alex Smith.
That offsets whatever good linebackers they have. I don't like Alex Smith.
No, I'm saying about if the coach who's coaching the linebacker compares with the situation in Kansas City to the situation in New Orleans and says, well, New Orleans got Drew Brees. Kansas City has Alex Smith.
Right.
Who you think has a better chance of going to the Super Bowl?
And so speaking of the situation with what wins championships, defense, offense, our good friend Gary spent a lot of time putting together some statistics. Now, unfortunately, I didn't have time to unpack all this information, so we have to wait till next week. So I'm going to tease that for next week.
All right.
That we're going to have, and if you guys are out there listening and you want to participate, what do you think? Because that's kind of going to be a subject for a segment. Give us a call, the hotline, 504-383-3369.
That's it.
That's right. Okay, give us a call and tell us what you think. Do you think that offenses win championships? Or is it the same old adage from years past, defense wins championships? By next week, we're going to see what Gary has for us. He went all the way back to, I think, Super Bowl VI and compiled this information. So I'm going to unpack that. I'm going to read all this stuff. I'm going to get to, I didn't want to just read what he was saying verbatim. I kind of want to understand and see if I agree or disagree with how he came up with all this stuff. So a good, interesting conversation for next week. But until then...
Yeah.
Tomas, you were saying something about, I don't remember what you were saying, so why don't you tell us?
It was interesting, though. I remember that.
It was
that.
A segue, man. You like that?
No,
like
it's
that?
All right. I understand. Yeah.
No,
I understand.
What was it? It was a long time. It was like 5 minutes ago. I can't remember.
When
that
you
far
have
back.
The attention span of a knot. So,
dang.
Okay. Hey. Remember, you're fighting against so, I mentioned that in some of these playoff games, it became very apparent that you have to have three phases participating in victory. You're talking here as a perfect segue because you said, does defense win a game? Well, I think all three things win the game. And in particular, the example that we had just this weekend was Pittsburgh plays against Kansas City. Kansas City scores 2 touchdowns and loses the game. Why? Because Pittsburgh scored a new record 6 field goals in a playoff game. So suddenly you see the significance of having a good special teams. Which brings me to the point about our New Orleans Saints. Because we have a kicker now that can compete to bring that third phase together. See, that's what I was trying to get to. You know? Yeah. And now we have a coach who just coached the snapper, the holder, and the kicker. And what a difference it made. And this man can make them just like Bailey makes them for Dallas. And the name of the kicker now, Green Bay.
Crosby.
You know, all these big-name kickers, they were playing. Lutz is the next guy up, man. I'm telling you.
Next man up right
there. We're looking at a clone of Morton Anderson, only he's right-footed instead of left-footed. Jeez. There you go.
Okay, well.
That's what I'm telling you.
And, there
and
you
that'll
go.
Bring that third phase of our team up with Morstead bombing the ball, putting people in a bad position on the field. And as long as we have 50 yards and in, we got a chance. You know, I'm just saying there's a – so no, all three phases are important.
I agree with that. And what's funny is that for the longest time, and you kind of just forget about it. Yeah, if he misses an extra point or a field goal, you're like, man, we need a new kick. But it's not just the kicker. Our special teams in general has been pretty poor over the last few years.
That's right.
And so it's just hard to win when you watch the playoffs because generally the teams that are making the playoffs – they're good at all three phases.
That's correct.
Now, some are better than other and whatever, yeah. But you're not going to have many teams that are in the playoffs that are like, their defense is okay, their offense is awesome, but their special teams is horrible.
Right. Yeah, so we've solved the issue of kicker and punter. What we haven't solved the issue of is Bird fair catching every punt. Okay.
Yeah.
That's another issue that has to be resolved.
Kickoff
because
return
that's
a, as well. We don't have a return.
We have no return.
We don't have a guy like, what's
that? Beer man.
Hester.
Oh, my God. I mean, that boy found a fountain of youth.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It was a beast.
Unbelievable.
It was a beast. Well, speaking of.
Beer man.
Okay. Speaking of playoffs.
Playoffs.
let's get to Lil Dice. He called us on the hotline. Let's see what he has.
He's alive.
He is alive. Little Dice, we were checking all the hospitals and police
alive
departments.
Alive and well.
He's alive and well.
All right.
Hey, this is Little Dice. So looking at the playoffs so far this year, I'm really talking about the Packers and the Pittsburgh Steelers. These guys, they build through the draft. They don't make these big splash free agent signings. And I was on the train with Dave, you know, 2017, we all in, let's go spend this cap money. But I'm really having a change of heart. I want us to go ahead and build through the draft. Let's build up the offensive line. Let's build up the defensive line. And let's turn this team more into a running team, sort of like a Dallas kind of thing. And let's save Breeze. We can extend his years. And we can become a great team again.
First of all, choo-choo, jump on the Dave train. No? All right. Well, anyway, here's a
short train, no caboose, but go ahead.
I don't disagree with you about building through the draft. I'm not going to take your thunder, Heath, about
no, it's not. I mean, you know, we talked about this before. If – for the Saints to build through the draft and still have Breeze involved in the equation, this would have had to have started before.
Exactly. Now,
because yeah, I understand his point about extending his career by not making
yes,
him
completely
have to throw
agree
the ball
with
as much and all. I get that. I just, you know.
Now, here's some things that people just don't think much about. Like, you can't just not spend the money. Now, maybe he might say, hey, instead of going to get that Bird guy, I agree with that. Go get me a half dozen Robinsons at guard,
right?
At linebacker, at
are you going to go for the $10 million guys, or are you going to try to get double the amount of $5 million guys? That,
exactly,
you know,
and I can understand that because I do believe the difference between the great players and the good players is not that much. So I would think that I would prefer to go out there and get good quality players, role players, as opposed to going out and getting 4, you know, Pro Bowl type players and breaking the bank. So I agree with you there. But having said that, you can't just not spend the money. One way or another, you got to pay somebody. It's a league rule, cap wise, that you have to spend.
But it's
X percent.
Over.
Yeah, and I know it's more complicated. Yeah. But at the end of the day, you can't just say, you know what, I'm just gonna go with the draft, and we'll pay our guys to re-sign them, but we're gonna leave $35-40 million, you know, cap space, because you actually have to go out and spend that money. So, but where I agree with you is that you need to do it in a way that's wise, instead of saying, oh, let's go get one or two guys right. who you think is going to change the fortune of the team. That just generally hasn't worked, not just for the Saints, but from a lot of teams.
Right.
It hasn't worked.
Right.
But for us, for the Saints, I would disagree when you said offensive line and defensive line. I think defensive line, we're already almost there. We don't need to really bring in a bunch of guys, because Davison has improved to the point that I think he's going to be a steady player on the inside. We have Rankin that we picked up last year in the draft. We have Fairley, because I'm fairly certain that we're going to re-sign Fairley. Okay, so that puts the inside of the line no problem. Cam Jordan, you know, he's playing optimal football, no problem. We just need a defensive end guy on the other side.
Yep.
Okay, so to me, I don't think we need it. Now, offensive line, you know, I think we need to address offensive line in free agency, truthfully, because no matter, I mean, they're just
especially if we want to improve the run game.
Yeah, and you know, again, you try to find the best bang for your dollar, and like Dave was saying, you don't need to go out there and draft the guy who's the number one free agent prospect. Let me tell you.
I mean, sign a guy.
Sign, right.
Yeah, sorry.
There are a couple of people out there that I'm already looking at, and I won't give it away yet. But, for example, there's a guy who looked great in preseason, got injured in the second game, and was put on IR. His backup came in, did a great job. They're not looking at pulling this guy back from IR because they're not going to replace him with the guy that replaced him. So here's a guy that would be an easy pickup. He's going to be a free agent. An easy pickup for the Saints, especially because the Saints like these guys who are injured anyway.
Yep.
You know? But here's an easy pickup if the guy truly is healthy again. We get him at a low dollar. And
hell,
so
we pick him up anyway.
Yeah.
That don't matter. Hell,
no,
don't
matter, right? It's just a camp body, huh? who might beat out Lolita. But anyway, I'm agreeing with Dave. I think that we need to look at good players who are lower on the free agent money amount and still build through the draft, bring in some young kids. But I disagree with the whole concept of Breeze extending. I'm with Heath. You know, you're not going to extend Breeze's career. You can't change a guy from who he is. You know, and Breeze is the kind of quarterback that he is. He's not going to suddenly, you know, it's like the same situation that Dallas has. Romo's not going to say, I'll be second string for the rest of my life. He's not going to do it.
No.
You know, even if he's washed up, he's going to say, no, I want a chance to start.
If he's going to change to more of a running kind of thing, and you don't need Peyton's philosophy anymore.
Right, and that's not Peyton's philosophy. I was going to say there's one more element, and that's like I just don't see Peyton saying, ooh, it's second 7. Let's run the ball here. You know, he's going to be like, let's get that first down.
Exactly.
So anyway, well, I'll tell you what. You guys have any final thoughts? We'll close the show out. All right, Heath?
My final thought is there's been some really weird defense or head coaching hires here lately. Yeah. That's something we didn't really talk about. We're talking about nothing on the front for the Saints hiring assistant coaches. But, man, seems like a whole lot of other people passed up on some of these other jobs, too, to get down to where they got to hire. I mean, the one guy's 30 years old, huh?
Right.
Where's he at? In the Rams, huh?
Or San Diego.
No.
Which one hired the 30-year-old?
The 30-year-old is the Rams head coach.
Rams new head coach.
Yeah, he was in Washington.
There's 19 quarterbacks in the league that are older than this guy.
Nice. Right. Because he was at Washington Redskins.
Yeah.
And then the high to
and
then compliment
Vance
that.
Joseph was a defensive back in the league just not that many years ago.
And then
he
was defensive back coach 1 year, then defensive coordinator 1 year, and now he's a head coach.
Now you talk
about moving up the ladder really quick, buddy.
Yeah, he got some pitches.
Yeah,
like.
And then in the Rams, they hire a 30-year-old for head coach, and then they turn around and hire Wade Phillips to be defensive coordinator.
Right. Yeah. Wade Phillips is going to change his diapers and everything.
Yeah, talk about it.
Come here, boy. Yeah, let me show you some of these things there.
Yeah. So San Diego, I don't know what the hell they
did. I don't remember what San Diego did. I was trying to think what they did. I know San Francisco has interviewed 3 different people and offered them the job, and he turned them down.
What? Then why would you go on an interview if you weren't going to accept it?
Because you go over there and you find out what kind of mess they really have.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I can
see
that.
The York family that runs that team is a joke.
Really? So you think it's ownership
big time.
Discombobulated.
Yeah.
You like that?
Okay. And, of course, and then – the rumor is that Chip Kelly's up for offensive coordinator for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
No,
under Maroon.
I don't know why anybody in the NFL in a front office would still have any interest in Chip Kelly whatsoever.
I think Valdosta State would be a good match for him.
Well, here's the thing. I'm going to be funding, apparently, or the winnings from this picking league is going to come from the proceeds from my pick'em league that I've been in for years.
Oh, well, see, that worked out
first
for
place, you. First place, $1,600. Second place, almost $500. And third place, it's like $180.
So that's it? That's for you, third place?
Well, right now, going into this week, I was tied for third place, and I was only 4 points back with a potential of 16 points you can get this week. Huh? So I made ground up on second place. So I'm still going to be in sole place of third, but I'm making that move on second place.
So it's a good thing you're not a racehorse and you'd be syndicated.
Yeah, no, it's a stretch. I told you my strategy. I'm in a stretch.
I see.
And that's
right.
When you – so that's how I'm going to fund the payment for – now, the other thing is that I forgot the other thing. There's some more stuff.
More stuff. All right.
Anyway.
Must be real good.
Dave, you got anything else you want to say?
No, you good?
I got nothing.
You got nothing? I still have something to say. I can't think of it, but I tell you, as soon as I hit the stop button, I'm going to think of it. I had one more little point I want to make. Oh, yeah. That's why.
Okay.
We got to have a code word.
That's right.
Code word.
Thesaurus.
I like it.
Great
thesaurus.
Choice.
All right, so this week's code word for the pick'em, thesaurus.
There you go.
Write it down. So for Heath Elson-San and Tomas Mauricio, I'm Dave Romero, and this has been the BS and Beer Podcast.
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back.
And that's the way it is.